Hello, I'm Simon Mercip and welcome to Crave. This is the podcast and the videocast dedicated to music, television, even dance once in a while.
Okay,
anything that's been entertaining me and Steve McCabe lately.
This is true. And so this week there's one thing, more than anything else that's been entertaining the pair of us. There's one absolute juggernaut.
Yes,
is coming to its final destination, and we're going to be there when it finally arrives. obviously, we're talking about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, three quarters of the planet will be there when it finally.
And I hope they'll be watching us as we dissect it.
That's right. So we are not going to worry about spoilers this week, are we, Steve? We're just going to be right into it. So if you really haven't seen the up till this point,
and just to be clear, we're talking about the penultimate episode. Series 8, Episode 5.
Yes.
Everything's on the table.
Yep.
So if you haven't seen anything, please, now would be a good time.
That's right.
To go watch something else.
Yeah, that's right. And we might take the opportunity to just mull over this season so far. There's been a couple of episodes which have gone to air since you and I last sat around this table. So there's a little bit of backtracking and setting the scene for this final episode. So that's going to take up a lot of our time this week.
Absolutely. Well, I would hope so.
Yeah, as it should. And we might have time for just a little, one of your favourite movie genres, Steve.
Well, I think it's my favourite title in that particular genre. The thing I like the sound of most in Avengers' latest film is the fact that it's got the word end.
Are you going to say that in game?
We can only hope. Falling from Infinity War.
which that could have been a long-running saga, couldn't it?
What do you mean, could? Damn well was, mate.
All right, and at the very end, we're going to talk about that briefly with a special guest, and then we'll... I'm going to very, very quickly mention, because I know you didn't see it, but completely by chance, I stumbled across an outstanding hour of dance entertainment in the small town of Whangamatāa.
Who would have thought it?
Who'd have thought it? And it's just worth a quick mention, but we'll get to that a bit later. But let's kick off, shall we?
I think we should.
With the aforementioned Game of Thrones.
Where do we even start?
Well, I mean, you know, we're talking about a real phenomenon, aren't we? I think that's fair. It's like 8, 9 years, something like that. A host of characters that we've got to know and care about or hate, but hating is still caring. It's set a standard for what you can see on television, really.
It really has. I mean, we've got astonishingly high budgets and incredible production values.
Yeah.
We've got narrative twists that have changed people's expectations of the way the stories are meant to develop.
Yes.
We have to accept the fact that no character is ever safe.
Yep.
We have got story arcs that have been arcing for, as you say, 8 to 9 years in a TV show.
Oh, that's clever. Yes.
Which is unusual. Outside of, say, a soap opera, which obviously this isn't.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, there's a lot going on. And it's made missteps along the way. I think we're going to have to address that fact tonight.
Sure. There's
definitely been a few of those. But, like you say, you know, people do care about characters. It's been sufficiently well written and well acted that we've found ourselves invested. And so we mentioned last time, again, like we say, no spoiler considerations whatsoever. You know, we ended the previous episode with Missandei being executed.
Yes.
And that stunned a lot of people and upset a lot of people.
Yes.
And you have to remind folk, you know, she's not actually real.
Yes.
But the fact that the character had been so well developed and was part of such a rich universe, we were invested in her.
Yeah.
Which is testament to the show itself.
It is. And we head in, so there's only one more episode to go. There's still, even after the fact that we've now seen the end of the Night King and the end of Jaime and Cersei, there's still a lot of unresolved issues there. About particularly around obviously Jon Snow and Daenerys Targaryen. Do you think, given the way the storytellers have approached this, and given that, you know, George R. R. Martin's books have come and gone, and so they're now writing beyond the books, once upon a time we might have expected a story like this to end with good triumphing over evil. I'm not sure I should be expecting that at all.
That ship sailed a very long time ago.
So, and I mentioned this on the Crave podcast comment just a few days back. Yeah, I'm expecting I might end up feeling angry or frustrated or maybe even disappointed in a way, because I'm not going to get the nice, neat, tidy ending that I would like.
No, this is not going to be... Well, I mean, look, here's the thing. Can we do spoilers for Murder on the Orient Express?
Go on, yes.
Right. So here's the thing. You have, in Murder on the Orient Express, you have a lovely bit of wrong footing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're given reasons to suspect that every single person on the train could have been the killer.
Yes.
And then there's a nice little twist at the end that it wasn't just one person. You can't just say, it was him.
Yes.
It's a lot more, subtle than that.
Yes.
Now, I have a feeling that George R. R. Martin is going to take a possibly parallel approach to that. It's not going to be simply, is it going to be Sansa? Is it going to be John? Is it going to be?
Yes.
It's not going to be as simple as that.
No, it won't.
And I'll refer you back about maybe four series to an episode when I think Daenerys was still in Meereen or one of those places.
I know. And she went up the tower? Is that the one you're thinking?
She's in the tower at this
point. That's right.
And they talk about the wheel.
Yeah.
The wheel keeps turning. And it's this family in power, then it's that family in power.
Yes.
And I think it's Varys or Tyrion says to her, "And you're going to stop the wheel?" And her answer was, "No, I'm going to destroy the wheel."
Right.
And so when people keep talking about who's going to end up on the Iron Throne,
well, of course,
right
now the Iron Throne is in a rather tawdry state.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. So I'm expecting, in fact, there to be potentially quite a few loose threads there that will lie unresolved.
Yeah.
But I think heading into this final episode, we've seen this really big change in the whole nature of Daenerys' character that's been talked about a lot in recent times. The daughter of the Mad King is looking
like... getting mentioned more and more often. Yeah,
looking like she's becoming obsessed and with her own type of madness.
Yes.
And it climaxed in this last episode with her embarking on a act of wanton, cruel destruction.
Cruel, that's a really important word.
Yeah, she rides the last remaining dragon across the civilian population of King's Landing and burns them to death.
Yeah.
Now, my question to you, Steve McCabe, is...
Go on.
We know that things have happened in the... character for the character of Daenerys, was there enough bad stuff going on so you felt when you saw that you thought, okay, yes, that makes sense within the character. I can accept, I don't like it, but I can accept why she's doing that. Did you get to that point?
I did, and I can hear from the tone in your voice that you possibly didn't.
Well, I want to hear your thoughts
I mean, again, we've talked about an 8-series arc, right?
Yeah.
And the very first time we meet her, we've got her brother.
Oh my! You know, I think I might have ended up writing down exactly what you're going to say, but go on.
No, you go.
Right,
the very first time we see her,
yes,
her brother is pawing her and manhandling her, getting her ready to sell her into slavery. And at one point, shortly after that, he remarks to her that he would be perfectly content to let the entire Dothraki horde rape her if that's what led him to his throne.
Yes.
So from the very beginning, she was being used, she was being sold, she was being raped, she was being abused.
Yes.
From the very beginning, she was being set up as simply a means to men's ends.
Yes.
So from the beginning, she was I mean that cannot set you up for a healthy
No, that's right. And of course, then she gets married to the Khal Drogo, who does rape her.
Yes.
And while she eventually grows to have some fondness for him, once she does that, he dies.
Yes.
So she is faced with the assault, as you say, but then the loss of him.
Yeah. And their child.
And then really, I've been thinking, like you, Steve, about her track or her arc through these series. There's been a series of losses of people around her.
Yes.
When this, and she's responded at times with cruel and harsh actions. So,
yes, she has.
She burnt alive those slave lords with using the dragon. She burnt alive the Tali father and son.
Yep.
Because
they simply were unwilling to yield to her.
Yeah, wouldn't bend
the knee.
Yes. And so she... By the time she's got to Westeros, she's left behind that character who was kind of her lover. Darion.
Darion Harris.
Yes. So she left him behind.
Yeah.
She'd lost Sir Barristan Selmy, who was the knight who was her, one of her chief protectors. When she gets to Westeros, what happens? She loses Jorah Mormont, her dearest friend and confidant.
Especially because at one point he betrayed her.
Yes.
And she's forgiven him.
Yes.
And got him back. And then once he's finally recovered, that's taken away from her.
By this stage, her other children, her dragons, of the three, two of them have perished.
Yep.
She's, as you say, lost Missandei.
Yep.
A dear, dear friend.
Yep.
She feels she can no longer trust Tyrion. She feels
not
she's
entirely.
Been, no. And Jon Snow, who she has fallen in love with, she now knows, while he still is pledging his love to her as his queen, he is recoiling at the idea that he is could have a physical romantic relationship with his aunt.
And at the same time, is also making her realize that he has a more legitimate potentially more legitimate claim to the throne than she does.
Yes.
So suddenly everything that she thought was her essence is undermined.
It is.
I'd like to see you do better under the circumstances.
Yeah, and there's one more thing. And there's one more thing. Apart from all those losses that she sustained, one of the things that drove her in those earlier seasons before she crossed the Narrow Sea was that when she went to a new place, the people accepted her and loved her as the queen.
Yep.
She comes to Westeros. That's not happening. So she's not being accepted. The love she seeks from the people she wants to rule kindly over is not there. I suppose that might be, of all these things, something that tips her over. But having said all that, Steve, I still was surprised at the end of this last episode when she sits on top of her dragon. I expected her to attack Cersei. I wasn't expecting her to lay waste to the civilians of King's Landing.
No, and I agree with you. I wasn't expecting her to myself.
No.
But when you see the other things that have happened with her, you remember when she bought the Unsullied, that one scene where she tortures the guy who she was buying them from.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, he was an idiot. He was contemptuous, and she played that wonderful little trick of pretending not to speak his language.
Yes.
Beautifully done. And then once she's got control of them, she then basically welches on the deal. She sold she's traded her dragon for those soldiers. And she then says, right, kill him and come back to me. So clearly she is not an honourable woman at that point, right? But we forget that, because very shortly after that we have that crowd surfing scene. It's how that series ends.
Yes.
With all the ex-slaves picking her up, and she's being carried across, you know, quite literally messianically.
Yes.
And that went to a head at that point. So next time you see her, she's showing up in some town where some children have been crucified. She then had one master for every one of those children crucified. Regardless of individual blame.
Yes.
She is not a kind and merciful woman.
No.
She's messianic.
Yes.
She is convinced of her own righteousness.
Yes. Believes her own priest, yes. Oh,
perfect way of putting it, yeah. So basically, it's in her. So no, I didn't anticipate that. But then, as we said before, one of the Game of Thrones is done.
Yes.
Is defy our expectations.
Yes,
at every turn. But I think when you look back and say, you know, how the hell did she get there?
Yeah, well there's quite a list of things you can rattle off. Yeah.
Yes, and there is a context for it.
So,
go.
From that point,
go on.
You then ask yourself, all right, now we have this major character in this long-running series revealed as a truly, well, in this last episode, a twisted and morally bankrupt character. Does that mean, though, she will lose the battle for the Game of Thrones? Maybe not.
Well, first of all, I'm going to take issue with revealed to be, like I just said. I think that's been hiding in plain sight.
In plain sight.
Yeah. All along.
Okay, good point. Good point. Yeah.
But this is true. I mean, first of all, for ages, people saying, she's our favorite. Suddenly going, maybe not. If we are going to have that nice little pat ending of someone sitting on the throne who gets to win, which I'm not convinced of.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Is she any better than Cersei Lannister?
Mm. Yeah. Well, you've got to ask that. Cersei let orchestrated the Green Fire, which consumed everyone. Well, what Daenerys has done is no,
it's possibly worse.
It could be worse. And could you have a story that, in a way, begins with the events leading from the assassination of the Mad King,
mm-hmm.
ending with the Mad Queen. You know, you could see that as a way that they could want to end it.
There's a certain symmetry there. So so are we going to see a Queen Slayer?
Yeah.
And if who? Well, I'm going to say there's an obvious candidate.
I would take a guess. Brienne. No.
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 Well, who was the Kingslayer?
It was Jaime.
Yeah.
Jaime Lannister was the Kingslayer.
So is this a family business?
Oh, yes. Jon.
I was thinking Tyrion.
Oh, I see what you mean in that respect. Yes. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I'm not really sure at this point. There are all sorts of things that permutations are possible. Right.
But we're not over. We know Tyrion's alive.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you happen to notice, but at the very, very end, if you let the credits run out, which I think most people do, they're going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. That was a.
Yeah. So
if you're listening to this, Steve's jaw has just dropped.
Yeah. The stun of what just happened will have had most people sitting there staring as the credits roll.
Yes.
You're trying to go, what the hell did I just see there?
Yeah.
Right? But then it's got the coming up on.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how many people will have seen that, to be fair. We just left it rolling and we were talking, me and Debbie, when we were watching it. And on the coming up, on the final episode,
right.
They use the F word just to rub salt in the
wound. Yeah, yes.
Right? You see Tyrion.
Right.
Walking away.
I thought that Tyrion was probably going to. I'm assuming that we have actually seen the end of Jaime and Cersei. I think that's.
We're assuming that we're.
Yeah,
not
yeah. And we've seen the Clegane brothers end.
Yeah.
They definitely no question about that.
But a dead heat.
A dead. Oh.
I think it had to be, didn't it?
It did.
We've got Arya riding off on the White Charger.
Yeah. So she's become a really much bigger character in this last part of the saga, it seems.
Yeah. Well, they had to do something with... I mean, they had to go on off that little adventure on her own off in Estos, wherever it was, where she was at the what they call the Faceless Men.
Yeah, yeah.
And that didn't seem to have gone anywhere.
No.
We need payback from that.
Yeah, yeah. We got a little bit of it when she... assassinated Carl de Frey, Walder Frey, but yes, who was responsible for the Red Wedding massacre. Okay, Steve, so we're not sure what we're getting next week, but what about just the way we've tracked up until this point in terms, you know, there's been a lot said about how they delayed this final season a year.
Yes.
To produce a series of almost movie-length episodes.
About an hour and 20,
which is pretty decent. Bigger budget, lots of extras, battles, special effects. Has that been worth it? Have we got our money's worth, if you like, out of the spectacle of this last season?
It's impossible to answer that question. I mean, look,
no pressure.
Well, no, I mean, no, seriously. What do people want? It's a TV show, right?
Yes,
it's a TV show, and you want a story that's going to engage.
Yeah,
have we got that?
Yes,
we have. Haven't we?
Yeah, and actually, to be honest, I don't think we necessarily needed to have millions of dollars spent on the on battle scenes to get that.
No.
I mean, it helps, but it's not the absolute essential, because it's the characters and the story that we're most interested in.
Well, you mentioned the battle scene.
Yeah.
And the battle for Winterfell, I think, was one of the episodes I've enjoyed least. I've never been a big fan of the big set piece anyway.
Yeah, there has to be something that's... Yeah, I agree. The Battle of the Bastards was good because you had the two bastards, if you like, squaring off. And even this most recent battle, we had the uncertainty about what Daenerys would do. But in the Battle of Winterfell, the Night King, who we don't actually know a heck of a lot about, it's just that he's bad, against all these other... The build-up, the introduction went quite nicely, but the actual big battle, I agree with you. That's not what I took away from that episode at all.
No. So it was badly filmed.
Mm-hmm.
It was very dark. It was very hard to follow what was going on.
Yes.
No, seriously. I know they were trying to convey the horror and the confusion and the panic and all the rest of war, but at the same time, I felt it was muddled.
Mm.
I couldn't follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's possible that my TV wasn't up to snuff and I just don't have a good enough picture. I don't know. But I found it was a dark and it was a confusing episode. At the end, you're going, now who was that? Did he die? Is she okay? There was too much of that. I didn't care for that.
Yeah.
There were two episodes at the very start.
Yes.
That were basically the moving of chess pieces around. And like you say, with the Night King, now apparently they are going to start doing a prequel to Game of Thrones.
Right.
With Martin's input. but it's going to talk about the rise of the Children of the Forest.
Okay.
And where the White Walkers came from.
Right.
Which wouldn't be a bad thing, because we, like you say, we know nothing of
not
the
Night
really.
King.
I
mean,
where did he come from? What's his motivation? Where does his power arise?
All that. Yeah.
None of it.
Yeah. Just on the battle, there was one, for me, watching it the first time, a piece of a sequencing that really irritated and frustrated me in that.
Yeah.
I just want to know what you thought about it. We get to the point where John has left his dragon. He's on the ground chasing the Night King because he knows the Night King is going off to get Bran.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's surrounded. He somehow miraculously holds off all these people with his own sword.
Yeah. Yeah.
Daenerys comes, burns him to freedom, and that's clear from that he must carry on and chase the Night King.
Yeah.
To save Bran and kill the Night King.
Yeah.
Then we go into the next time we see him,
Jon
Snow, he's stumbling around inside Winterfell.
Yeah.
And I just didn't get that at all.
No.
I thought, well, that red tree, is that, do you have to go through Winterfell to get to the red tree? Someone has subsequently said maybe you did, but I just didn't.
Well, he knows his way.
Well, yeah, but it looked like he was, I don't know, didn't know what was going on. I just found that a little bit, it looked like they were padding, trying to make time to keep him somewhere
so that
Arya could get over to the Red Tree and do the business with the Night King.
There's probably some truth in that.
Anyway, so that I found that a little bit frustrating, than a little.
And then since we're working through the Stark family here, Sansa's still up north.
Sansa's still up north, yes. Bran is still up north.
And that's the one that's frustrating me most. They've invested a lot here and there in bits. In Bran being the three-eyed raven and all the rest.
Yeah.
Where the hell's that going?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, for example, in the fall of the Night King, he sends off the crows. Remember they go off and we didn't really find out, we weren't shown what they did or
no.
Subsequently one of my friends suggested to me that was he was doing that on purpose to bait the Night King to let him know where he was, to lure him into the trap. Maybe that makes sense. But I found that a little bit. What was all that about? And you're right, that's unresolved.
Yeah, why do we have a three-eyed raven?
Yeah.
I mean, on the one hand, we've completely eliminated the threat of the Night King, as far as we're aware. But he served a very real purpose.
Mm.
He is what united the Starks and the Targaryens and some Lannisters.
Yes.
He brought everybody except Cersei together.
Yes.
So he actually did serve a purpose.
Yes.
And then once he'd done that, he could then be disposed of without feeling like he was a wasted character.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Because really, what is the value or the purpose of the three-eyed raven? All we've been told, and what Bran has told us, he said, I spend most of my life looking backward or in the past.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, okay, but how does that help? What's the point of that? You know, like, you're right, where is that going?
The only thing he's really done that... I mean, I was having a conversation with some friends about this last night, and the point I was making then is you could actually take him out of the story and nothing would fall over.
No, yeah. I mean, you're right. A lot invested in that trek north to...
Yeah.
There is one episode to go, and maybe we will find that being addressed.
We have to, because otherwise there's a huge, big sort of why.
Just
hanging out there.
Yeah.
So how is it going to play out then?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. I think that we've still, apart from, as you said, Sansa's still up north, Bran's still up north, we still got Yara Greyjoy is still on that island.
She's
a pawn in the game still, maybe. We've still got Gendry, one of the Baratheon lad.
Yeah.
He could be a player, perhaps.
I have a feeling he's been dismissed.
Maybe, because that could well be right, but He's of royal connection, so...
Well, he is now,
Yeah, he is now. And then we've got John. He's basically become the goody-good guy, hasn't he?
A bit one-dimensionally.
Well, yes, but in a way that's been a counterpoint for all that's been going on around him, I suppose, could argue.
Well, that's true. It does go on around him, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that one thing I would say about, and I wanted to ask you about the acting that we've seen in the recent times, I think there's been a few really nice little touches from the actors here. I thought the farewell, for example, between Tyrion and Jaime
was very, very
well done. In fact, I thought Jaime didn't say anything, he just looked at Tyrion, and I thought that was just Wow. Great. And the few weeks before Sansa and Tyrion in the crypt, yeah. they both thought they were going to cop it. That was a really touching yeah. little moment there. Earlier in the season, I thought that the knighting of Brienne was lovely. I mean, it was a really yeah. emotional. So there have been some pretty nice...
Oh, definitely. You've got an amazing cast there. Yeah, definitely.
And back to John, which is what you yeah. started off on.
Yeah.
I just think there's been a little bit of subtlety there, I thought. So, for example, I'll give you a couple of examples. Early on in this most recent episode, he arrives where Daenerys is and Lord Varys tells him, basically, that the secret's out.
Yeah.
We all know who you are.
Yeah.
And I thought the way he reacted to that, it's sort of almost like a resigned grimace.
Yes.
I quite like the way there's a little nice little bit of play on his face there, yeah. just subtle. And also, we're starting to see a play on his face, the doubts he has about Daenerys.
Yes.
And I think that I was giving him some credit for just taking that wooden expression he's used so often and just starting to... No, I'm being too kind, but he's beginning to just sort of let that come through, I think.
I know what you're saying, but most of the time it's just a bit gruff and,
yeah, yeah.
and I'm the king of the north and I yeah, want to be
yeah,
in,
yeah.
and that's it. And that tends to be his one note.
Yes.
And speaking of one note, Auntie Daenerys as well, for that matter.
Yeah.
There have been criticisms
yeah.
of Emilia Clarke's acting.
Yes.
That she's a little bit... where are my dragons? I am the Breaker of Chains. and in the same way that she's been a little bit. But I think from the moment she realised what was about to happen to Missandei,
yes.
when they started showing
yeah.
the agony on her face, then you start to see, okay, I take back everything I said.
Yeah, I agree with you. I found this been lately, we've really seen Emilia Clarke show a different
yes.
aspect of her skills
yes.
there, which is
very
really,
definitely
really good.
Yeah. So, speaking of Daenerys,
yes.
here's my... I mentioned to you this on the phone the other
yes,
night,
yeah,
I think it's worth
yep.
putting on the record.
Go on.
Let us go back to... I checked. This is Series 2.
Right.
Last episode.
Okay.
It's the famous Where Are My Dragons episode.
Okay.
When she's in Carth.
Mm-hmm.
And there was... his name escapes me now. I should have prepared this. The creepy wizard dude.
Yes. Bony
yes,
and
you know
hooked nose
about, yeah.
and bald.
Yeah. yeah, who kidnaps the three dragons.
Yes.
And incidentally, let me just go on record as saying that I know where the name came from, but for the name of a dragon, Drogon is rubbish. But that notwithstanding, right, he's got the three dragons
yes.
in the House of the Undying.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds herself in there and she's shown visions. And one of them... we imagined at the time, because obviously winter was coming,
mm.
was the Red Keep destroyed in winter.
Yes.
And and Daenerys entering the throne room,
mm.
which is in ruins.
Yep.
And
what looks like coming down...
Snow
is falling.
But was it?
No. Well, we think not.
We're starting to wonder now.
Yes.
Is that what we're going to see next week?
Yes. And so, Steve, I think you alluded to this a little earlier in our chat just now. Is there actually a throne or a kingdom based in a realm based in King's Landing to be
yes.
to be taken over,
or is this the most Pyrrhic of victories?
Yeah, yeah. And I had another thought because you mentioned it, I think they do it this time with these storytellers. They are sometimes like to finish off where they've started.
Yes.
And the very, very first thing we saw in the Game of Thrones was a scene up north where
yes.
those guys went out through the wall out into the north. And I just wonder whether we will finish in the north in some fashion, whether that's because that's where we become the new seat of power for Westeros. Or
possibly, yes.
Or that's just where whoever's going to meet their demise will meet their demise.
Interesting thought, yes.
I could see that play out. Yeah, yeah, we'll see. Anyway, it's been a fantastic ride.
Hasn't it, Joss?
It's captured many people's imaginations because
oh, yes.
of the quality of the acting, the quality of the script writing, the quality of the production, the fact that we've been able to invest in these characters for year after year after year and care about what they do. And also because it's been a fantasy program on television but treated in an adult way
yeah.
with adult language, the violence, the sex. But it's all, you know, it's not for kids. This is
no.
a proper adult program.
Yes.
That you could, an adult could say, right, I'm being treated as an adult, you know, in the storytelling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, 1 week to go and we can't wait.
No.
Now, tell me about something I can wait for.
Oh, Right. Well, I think we need to take a cue on that.
I think I need to leave the room.
Right, so you still are watching and listening to CravePodcast.com, and no, Steve hasn't had a hair transplant. he's gone away for a little bit, and I'm joined by Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Simon.
You listeners to the podcast would have heard you many times doing your guest reviews.
Pop music,
yep. And that's been your speciality, and something that Steve and I haven't always grasped, but we're very pleased that you've been able to do it for us. So let's talk about this film, which has been out for just a little while now. We've both followed the Marvel superhero movies.
Right.
We've got to the end of the...
Yes.
A chapter. This is Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Expectations were sky high, for me anyway, coming into this.
Yeah.
Overall, I thought they did a damn good job. I thought so at the time watching it.
Yep.
And actually, a few weeks later, I still think it. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah, I had high expectations and I felt like they were met. And I loved it. I did. Obviously, later I started thinking about a few little things.
Yes.
But actually, I'm planning to see it again this week.
Are you?
With a friend who hasn't seen it yet. So.
That's an interesting point. Going back and seeing it a second time, what would you be hoping? What would you be looking for to maybe gain from it that you didn't... the first time
I'm
around.
I'm sure there are nuances to the story that I didn't quite pick up because it is, it's pretty fast paced, a lot of characters, a lot going on.
Yep.
So I'm thinking a second viewing might be good.
Yeah, okay. Yep. So then Steve and I were just talking about Game of Thrones, which of course there are some similarities in a way with that whole Marvel universe. A series of films or TV programs have gone on for years.
Right.
Characters we've got to know.
Oh yeah, you get very invested in the characters.
And
the
characters die, and they certainly did it at Avengers Endgame.
Yep.
We had certainly two major deaths in Avengers Endgame, Iron Man and Black Widow.
Right.
And Captain America's role has come to an end, right? Because he's ended up being a very old man.
Right.
So of the original Avengers, I think there were five of them, three of that's
right.
it.
Right.
Were you surprised, disappointed by that? What?
I was really surprised by Black Widow's death.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed to really work well with the story. And I thought Captain America making the choices that he did in the end was really surprising. It was really interesting, though. I liked it.
Yeah. So I think we can talk pretty freely about the movie now because it's long, it's been out and I don't think we have to worry about spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right back at the very first Captain America film, the love of his life, he has to sacrifice.
Right. Yeah.
And thanks to the time travel device... he gets goes back and
So it was actually kind of sweet.
Yeah,
I like it.
Now you said there were one or two little things that maybe in hindsight or on reflection didn't quite sit so well.
Right.
What was that?
Well, on reflection, I thought about how they dealt with Thor's character.
Right.
And it was funny at first.
Yes.
And I think he played it really well, but I thought that he was going, and I think you had mentioned this before too, that there was going to be this sort of miraculous, he gets back to, being buff and Thor again. And he didn't. And I was really kind of surprised. And I think that they did well to use Chris Hemsworth's comic abilities. I thought that was great.
Yes.
But I think they just took it a little too far. I think they could have brought him back.
Yeah. So it was a great joke at the beginning, wasn't it? This character, tall, hugely muscular, god of thunder, has become an ale drinking, beer belly swilling,
fat stoner, basically.
Yeah. And he basically stays like that the whole movie.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that was a bit of a disappointment.
But at least with that character, though, they've opened the door at the end to him joining the Guardians of the Galaxy and going off for some cosmic adventure somewhere. So
hopefully in his normal self. Yeah.
Just one other thing that I guess is the whole approach of these Marvel films. Steve and I have talked quite a lot about how, compared to the DC films, the Superman ones.
Yeah.
I think Marvel have somehow found a way to get that element of humor.
Mm-hmm.
So you're enjoying the action or the drama, but somehow you know, and they know, not to take it so seriously.
Yeah.
How's that set with you?
I think that works really, really well. I have to be honest, I haven't seen any of the DC films. So I can't compare, actually. So I'm really new to the whole comic book thing. It's new for me. I know you've got a history of
Well, that's a good point. How come did curiosity draw you to the first?
My daughter, actually. Okay. I saw Thor 2, I guess it was, the first time. And I kind of reluctantly went with her. She needed someone to go with. She didn't have a friend who wanted to go. I think most of her friends aren't into Marvel. So, I know her two best friends aren't into it at all. So I went with her. So, you know, a little ways into it, I was like, okay. No, I really like this. So.
What was the first thing that you thought made it work for you? What's it?
Well, Chris Hemsworth. Oh, of course. Obviously. I mean, I thought you would have gotten that. Anyway.
Okay, so, yeah. Cool. So, look, just one final thought is, I think they've called this Phase 3 or Phase 4 or something of the Marvel films. There are going to be others.
Absolutely, yeah.
Without some of the main characters.
Yeah.
Will you keep watching them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the new Spider-Man film that's coming out next year, I think it is.
Oh, it's in a month or two.
Oh, is it in a month or two?
Oh, yeah, it's very soon.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well.
They trot them out very quickly.
Time flies.
Yeah. Okay, Debbie. Oh, well, we can talk about the next one when it comes out.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Simon.
Cheers. Right, so we're back with CravePodcast.com, and our guest reviewer, Debbie, has magically left the room.
Yes.
Steve, you're back with us again.
Indeed.
We're just about at the end of our sort of Game of Thrones special. I just want to quickly mention...
Oh, yeah?
This is something I stumbled upon by surprise in the Coromandel town of Whangamata.
Okay,
just
yeah, yeah.
There's a New Zealand dance troupe. They've been around, I think, for nearly a quarter of a century. They're called Black Grace.
Oh, yeah.
And I happened to see a show of theirs in Whangamata.
As you do.
As you do. I've got a review on the website. A really inventive, young, energetic, creative bunch of young people.
Yeah.
Their director and choreographer is a chap called Neil Eremea, who's been around for a long time. They're on a tour at the moment. They were compelled to do this latest tour, I think, by events in Christchurch.
Right, yeah.
And so it's just an hour of full-on... young people expressing themselves in dance with storytelling, with a variety of different types of music, athletic, acrobatic, creative, occasionally funny, occasionally making you cry. And it's called the 2020 Tour. The first one was after they celebrated their 20 years anniversary,
yeah, yeah.
And $20 a ticket.
Oh, perfect.
So I think they've still got a few towns to go. I've got the details on the website.
Excellent.
Honestly, you could do far, far worse than this. It's really, really worth seeing.
Black Grace.
Black Grace.
Excellent. We'll give that
check
a look.
Out the website.
Fair enough.
CravePodcast.com. Speaking of CravePodcast.com, Mr. McKay.
There's not a huge amount to talk about this week in terms of updates.
Yes, go on.
Fleetwood Mac have announced a few new tickets.
So is that the fourth show in Auckland, I think it is?
No. It's not an additional show.
Oh, it's not?
No, they're putting more tickets for the existing shows on sale.
Now, okay. I thought I heard on the radio this very day of us recording this this podcast that there was an extra show, but I could be...
Come on,
I may
Simon,
have misheard that.
You don't believe everything you hear on the radio.
I'm not sure how to answer that.
You of all people should know that. Now,
okay, well, at least extra tickets. Okay,
well, here's what you do. You go to the most reliable source for entertainment news that you can think of.
Oh, that must be...
CravePodcast.com, yes. Exactly, yeah. Where you'll see the update with the full information about all the confirmed dates for here in Auckland and also for down in Dunedin.
Okay, great, good.
And then the big film news
next
week, I'm looking forward to this, is the release of the Elton John biopic.
Ah, okay.
Rocket Man,
okay.
With Taron Egerton as Reg.
Reginald Dwight?
That's the one, yeah.
Yes.
Really looking forward to that.
Well, that's got a... given the incredible success of the previous British film looking at a British artist, that namely Bohemian Rhapsody, telling Freddie Mercury's story, I think the expectations on this will be quite high.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a simple cash-in, obviously.
No.
I mean, it's coming too soon after Bohemian Rhapsody, that they must have had this in production a long time before then. But yeah, you're right. How do you follow Bohemian Rhapsody?
I think I've seen a trailer for this.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's quite an irreverent look at him, which I guess it has to be.
Well, it's Elton John, isn't
it? It's Elton John. I've seen the actor you just mentioned. I've got
Taron Egerton.
Yeah, has he got a good rep? Do you think for this sort of thing?
Well, I mean, the last time I remember seeing him, he was in things like The Kingsman.
Ah, yes. Okay,
yep. Where he's a bit of a cheeky chappy.
Right.
He was a good foil to Colin Firth. I could see how he could possibly take that shtick and translate it.
Yeah, okay.
You can see how that would then feed into certainly the Reggie Dwight, Elton John, that I think we're expecting to see.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think this is going to tell us anything we don't already know.
Yeah.
In the same way that, let's be fair about this, Bohemian Rhapsody didn't really tell us a whole lot that we didn't already know.
We just enjoyed the ride.
Exactly. Yes. And I have a feeling that the from what I've seen in the trailers, you've seen the same one I have, clearly, right?
Yeah.
You get the impression that they're going to take you on a ride.
Yeah, I think so.
Possibly more so than Bohemian Rhapsody did.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Oh, great. All right. Well, that's a good couple of things to look forward to.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think we've pretty much flogged
tonight. So just as Steve mentioned, you by all means on our cravepodcast.com website, where we have Steve's all the latest information about what's coming up, and lots of great photos. So Steve, you arranged for a guest photographer to go along and shoot the Post Malone concert.
Yeah, that was Nikita Ware was there for us, yes.
And we also had...
Thanks, Nikita.
Yeah, and another, was it Chris, another photographer who went along when I did to see Little Stephen and the Disciples of Stolen.
Yeah, Chris Reichlich was there for Little Stephen.
Yep, so we've got some great photos.
I'm amazed you've actually gone the entire episode without mentioning
It was a little while back.
It was a couple of weeks ago,
I'll just say it was a really, really good show to a pitifully, abysmally small audience.
That does surprise me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd have been better off at the power station.
Actually, that would have been a much better venue.
It's a better venue in general, isn't it? Yeah, really,
but so. That's a shame because it was a great show. Anyway, that's us. Next, we're hoping to get together again reasonably soon because we've talked so much about Game of Thrones.
We might slide a bonus one in there next week,
Until then, thanks for watching and listening. And if you want to get in touch, of course, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast. Let me start that again. podcast@cravepodcast.com.
That would be the one. That's you can one. Find us on Facebook or on Twitter or indeed on Instagram. We're at Crave Podcast.
Lovely. So, I'm Simon Mercer.
I'm Steve McCabe.
That's what's been entertaining us this week.
Certainly is. Good enough.
Lovely. Thank
you, sir. Went about as well as could be expected. I better.